Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 90s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. I remain Farley Malaris, and welcome to yet another edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. Well, we're going to talk about some real strange stuff today. Life in the beyond, life after death. There's a topic for you. Today was one of those days that I'm having a moon, whatever, a moon square Venus and a Uranus T-square. So this morning was one of those days when I rolled out of bed and said, what the blank, you know what I mean? And just my mind was empty. Sometimes after doing like 1600 shows and 1600 topics, you just get to the point where you're like, your mind's empty. So I pulled up my old teachings of Silver Birch, Wisdom from the World Beyond, edited by A.W. Austin and forward by Hannon Swaffer, and opened up to the chapter called Life in the Beyond, which is something I need to read once in a while when I feel lonely or unloved or empty or misplaced or uncentered. And because these books are so difficult to find, actually, the Silver Birch books, I think the Alexandria 2 has some, the Bodhi Tree has some, I know the Spectrum in Redondo Beach has a great selection. Sometimes when you start thinking about life after death and life in the beyond, or if you know someone that has died, or you feel like you're dying, or you're still mourning a death, a recent death, sometimes you need some help, you need some answers, you need some restoration. Sometimes we get so attached to people that we love and that we care for, that when they die, it's like they take a major part of ourselves with them. It's like we die. We feel vulnerable. It's the unknown. We don't know much for sure what's out there. Of course, unless you own a purple plate, you'll have no idea what's out there. Let's just for fun, because I'm in a pretty open-minded mood today, and because these Silver Birch books are so hard to find, let's find out what the great Indian medicine man, Silver Birch, funny thing was, Silver Birch, was channeled. Silver Birch, as we call him, is not a typical American Indian, unbelievable being, actually, that was able to come through a British channel long ago. 1938 is when the first book was published. So this information actually came through a long, long time ago. Now, this edition of Teachings of Silver Birch was published in 1983. So this information has been floating around. It's just been difficult to find. Silver Birch has described something of the beauties of the spirit world, which he declares we visit frequently when we sleep. Although most of us cannot remember our experiences on waking, if you have a purple plate or crystals, or if you're living somewhat of a holistic lifestyle, you'll be fully aware of what the spirit world's all about. So those of you that have vivid dreams, and this actually would make an excellent part two of yesterday's show on dream consciousness, have tasted the spirit world or what it's like after death. And before I really get into anything in this topic, just to make it really easy, I want you to know that I firmly believe that life after death is very similar to dreaming when we sleep. So if you are lucky enough to have vivid dreams like I do, technicolor dreams like I do, then perhaps you'll reach a level of qualification that after death you'll have some kind of control of your spirit, because you'll be in a vivid state of spiritual awareness at that point. Hopefully you'll be aware that you will have died, which is a big question mark in the hearts and minds of a lot of metaphysicians. Do people even know? And how long does it take? When you've tasted and enjoyed with your full consciousness all that my world has to offer, this is Silver Birch talking, of course, you will realize that it is the love we bear for you that makes us come back to work amongst you. You have not tasted the joys of the world of spirit. There's nothing in your world of matter with which you can compare the life of the spirit. Freed from the trammels of the flesh, escaped from the prison of the body of matter, with liberty to go where you will, to see your thoughts take shape, to follow out the desires of your heart, to be freed from the troubles of money. No, you have not tasted the joys of the world of spirit. You who are encased in matter do not yet comprehend beauty as it can be. You have not seen our light, color, scenery, trees, birds, rivers, streams, mountains, flowers, and yet your world fears death. This is Silverbirch speaking, of course, from the book. Death strikes terror into your hearts. Terror. But you will only begin to live when you are finally dead. Now you live, but in reality you are almost dead. So many are dead to the things of the spirit. The little life force flickers in their puny bodies, but no spiritual things can find any response within them. But gradually we make progress. Gradually the force of the spirit increases in strength all over your world of matter. Gradually darkness retreats, as it must when confronted by the light of spiritual truth. There are no words to compare the life in your world of matter with the life in the world of spirit. No words. We who are dead know so much more of life than you do. This is the world where the artist finds all his dreams come true, where the painter and the poet realize their ambition, where genius has full power of expression, where the repressions of earth are swept away, and all gifts and talents are used in the service of one another. This is the world where there are no clumsy words to express inspiration, but where thought is the living language and reveals itself with lightning rapidity. This is the world where we have no money to worry us, where there is no competition, no driving of the weaker to the wall, where the strong are strong because they have something to give to those less fortunate than themselves. We have no unemployment. We have no slums. We have no selfishness. We have no sex, S-E-C-T-S. We have only one religion. We have no sacred books, only the operation of the divine laws to instruct us. And the nearer you get to the belt of matter, the more clumsy and difficult it is for the spirit to express itself. I never like to come back. That's Silverbirch speaking again. The only things that make me do so are the promise that I have given to serve and the love of all of you, which gives me some compensation. I personally feel similar at times. To die is not tragic. To live in your world is tragic. To see the garden of the great spirit choked with the weeds of selfishness and greed and avarice, that is tragedy. To die is to enjoy freedom of the spirit, which has been imprisoned behind the bars of the material body. Is it tragic to be released from suffering for the soul to come into its own? Is it tragic to see wonders of color, to hear music that does not belong to material expression? Do you call it tragic to express yourself in a body that has no pain, to be able to roam all over the world of matter in a flash, and to taste the beauties of the spirit life too? Now, if you've just tuned in, I'm Farley Malaris, and this is Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the Astrological Metaphysical Radio Network. The topic today is called Life in the Beyond, and I'm reading one of the most important chapters I've ever read from the Silverbirch book, Teachings of Silverbirch, Wisdom from the World Beyond, which is channeled information from a great Indian medicine man through a British channel in England back in the early 19th century. So let's continue in case you just tuned in. There is not in your world one artist who could capture with his paints some of the glories of my world. He's talking about the spirit world. There is not one musician who could record some of the glories of the music sphere with your earthly notes. There is not one writer who could describe in physical words the beauty of parts of this world. What a pleasant surprise you will all have one day when you become conscious of our world, the spirit world. Your world is in beauty now. This sitting was held in May. You see all around you the manifestations of the great spirit, As the dawn of life sweeps over your surroundings again in its cycle, and you marvel at the beauty of the blossom and the fragrance of flowers, and you say, how great is the handiwork of the Great Spirit. And yet that which you see is but a very, very pale reflection of the beauties that we have in our world of spirit. We have flowers such as you have never seen. We have colors such as your eyes have never beheld. We have scenes and forests. We have birds and plants. We have streams and mountains. You have nothing to compare with them. And you will be able to enjoy them even though you will be ghosts. You will be real ones. You come to our world now, but you do not remember. You come when you sleep. You visit the spirit world every night. That is your preparation. Otherwise, it would be such a shock when you come here to start your real life in earnest after your physical death. When you pass on, you will remember your visits, your dreams, all of them, vivid and in detail. You will then be freed from the limitation of the body, and you will be able to express to the full all the consciousness which has been released during your sleep. Hence the importance of sleep and dream consciousness. In its new expression, it will bring to you all the memories that you have, the memories of all the experiences that you have enjoyed. Okay, now in this part of the chapter, Life in the Beyond, I hope you're all having a good time, and if you're driving, please don't trance out. Please don't get too far out during today's topic, because whenever I read Silver Birch, it always eases me and calms me and takes me beyond and, of course, throws me into a higher vibration, so I may add a few things here and there, but I still feel that it's all extremely valid for us to remain calm and mellow during some of these very trying times for so many people, to understand what is really out there beyond the illusion of life. Here's some questions and answers that I feel were vital that were asked to Silver Birch. You might as well continue in Life in the Beyond, in this topic in today's Astrological Metaphysical Radio. Silver Birch was asked, what will be the position of those who, after passing, go to the lower planes of spiritual life? Will they remember their sleep visits, presumably to the lower planes? And will that memory help them to adjust their position? And Silver Birch says, those who would gravitate to the lower planes go to those planes during sleep. But the memory of that would not help them to realize their position after death, because the planes on which they found themselves would still resemble the material world. The lower in the world of spirit, the more earthly it is in appearance, because the vibrations are more gross. The higher in the realm of spirit, the finer the vibrations. Another question. Do we remember our sleep adventures in this life? And Silver Birch says, when your spirit is released from its body, you are freed from your brain, which is your limitation in the world of matter, the brain. The consciousness now has experiences on our vibrations according to your grade of evolution, and it is conscious of its experiences while it has them. But when you go back to your body of matter and try to capture the experiences of the spirit, you cannot do so because one is greater than the other. The smaller cannot hold the greater, and you get distortion. It is as if you had a little bag, and you tried to get lots of things into it. You could only get some of the things into the bag, and the more you pushed, the more out of shape they would become. That is what happens to you when you return to your bodies. Isn't that funny? But if your soul is already evolved, and you have reached an advanced stage of consciousness, then you are aware of the spirit realms. Then you can quite easily train the brain to remember. I talk with all of you, and I often say, remember this when you go back to your world. Isn't that funny? Because I have dreams of Silver Birch all the time, and he does say that. But you do not remember. I have been with each one of you, and I have taken you to many places. But though you do not remember it now, none of it is ever wasted. Let me repeat the analogy that he gave of why we don't remember enough when we return from our sleep and dream consciousness state. Silver Birch says, it is as if you had a little bag and you tried to get lots of things into it. You could only get some of the things into the bag, and the more you push, the more out of shape they would become. That is what happens to you when you return to your bodies. That's why in this bag of bones we can only fill so much energy here. Now, he says, do you mean that the memory of these experiences will help us when we pass on, the experiences of sleep and dreaming? Yes, nothing is wasted. The law is perfect. This is Silverbridge again. Those of us who have lived for many years marvel at the perfection of the law. And when we hear the puny minds of your world criticize the Great Spirit, how little they know. The less they know, the more they express themselves. Question. Are many people engaged in working during their sleep state? Or are the visits used solely for preparation for the larger life? Some of you do work, because there are many that you can help in your sleep state. But usually it is a preparation. You are taken to those places which will help you to be ready for your work when you leave the world of matter. If that were not done, the shock of coming from one sphere of expression to another would be so great that it would take you a long time to recover. That is why sleeping and dreaming vividly is so important to your higher consciousness, your higher vibration, and your spiritual qualification, so you're not to be shocked spiritually when you pass from the world of matter. That is why it is easier for those who have knowledge when they come to our world. Others have to sleep and rest for a long time after they pass until they can adjust themselves. If you have knowledge, then you pass from one state to another and you are aware of the new life. After all, it is just like opening a door and coming into the sunshine. You must get accustomed to the light. Oh, by the way, if you just tuned in, once again, the topic is Life in the Beyond, and I'm reading some channeled information from the Great Wise Channel Spirit, the Great Spirit, Medicine Man Silver Birch, who channeled some tremendous stuff back in the early 1900s that we have access to today. So I'm sharing that with some of my listeners to help ease your day a little bit. Life in the Beyond, continuing. Those without knowledge of the afterlife and of the dream state would have to have a long period of rest to recover from the period of transition. It is the same as a baby in your world. It has to feel its way. They would still remember their experiences, but more as you remember dreams. Nothing is ever lost, in your world or in mine. Always remember that. Every thought, every action, every desire to serve that is thrown out of your hearts helps someone somewhere. Always when the desire is there, you attract those who can help you. Question. When people pass on lacking understanding, are not aware of their dreams, our meditative consciousness, do they respond to our thoughts and receive our mental messages? Answer. Awakening only comes when realization dawns. If you have knowledge, then your awakening is much quicker. We have to fight ignorance, misunderstanding, superstition, false creeds, erroneous theologies, all of which do not help to prepare the soul for its new life. Before these are conquered, the soul has gradually to accustom itself, and there is a long period of rest. As in your world, you have hospitals for bruised and injured bodies, we have to treat bruised and injured souls. But where an individual has rendered great service and love, goodwill, affection, and prayer accompany his passing into my world. Then the awakening is speeded, for all those vibrations help him. Question. What will happen to a person who passes on not believing in survival, but thinking that when he dies, it is the end, an atheist? As you cannot die, because it is contrary to the natural law, that person will have to wake up and face the fact. How long it will take for the realization of spirit life to come to him will depend upon the evolution of his soul. How far it is, advanced, and how it can attune itself to the new conditions. Question. Will the passing of such a person be difficult? That again depends on the evolution of the soul. The passing from your world to mine is not difficult as a rule, because usually the one who passes is not conscious of the change at the time. It is only advanced souls who register the passing out of the world of matter into the world of spirit. In other words, most people are not aware of their own death. Question. If such a person has been good, will he suffer in any way for not believing the truth of survival, even if he has been told of it? Good, bad, I do not know what these words mean. It will depend only upon the life he has led, the service he has rendered, the opportunities he has taken to unfold the great spirit that is within him. That is all that counts. It is better to have knowledge than ignorance, but the only test is the way you have lived your life from day to day. Question. In the spirit life, do we join again with those we love and become younger? Jesus says there is no marriage or giving in marriage. Answer. Wherever there has been love between a man and a woman, and that love has brought them together and made them as one, and they have lived on the same spiritual plane in your world, then death will not part them. Death will be a door which will give them a greater freedom for their souls to be more closely united than they were in the world of matter. But if their coming together, their marriage as you call it, was not a marriage of souls but only of bodies, and their souls did not dwell on the same plane, then death will drive them further apart, for it will relegate them to their own spiritual spheres. If there is love, they will find that in the world of the spirit. They will not get younger, not older, but will experience growth, evolution, development. These are things of the soul, not the body. When the Nazarene said that there is no marriage and no giving in marriage, he was referring to the marriage of bodies, not the marriage of souls. For that which you call male and that which you call female has its contribution to make to each other. The female is necessary to the male, and the male is necessary to the female. The Great Spirit embodies the two principles in perfection, what I, Farley, refer to as the yin-yang. As you evolve in the planes of spirit, the difference becomes less and less. Question. Is it possible to sin on the other side? If so, what is the most common form of sin? Of course it is possible to sin in our world. The sins of the spirit world are the sins of selfishness, but in our world they are speedily revealed. They are known as soon as the thought is in the mind, and the effect is seen far more quickly than it is in your world of matter. It registers on the one who commits the sin and makes him spiritually lower than he was before. It is difficult to define more clearly in your language what these sins are, except that they are sins of selfishness. Gosh, I sure hope I have enough time to finish this, but I'll go as far as I can with it. At least we're having fun, right? The heavens or spirit spheres are, relatively to this earth, real and substantial, ruled over by wise chiefs, lords, or gods. Has a history of these heavenly kingdoms been made known to us earth dwellers? That was a question. Silverbird says, there have been many to whom the organization of the world of spirit has been revealed, but we do not have the spheres with chiefs. The only chiefs are natural laws. The world of spirit is not a world where spheres are marked off with boundaries such as you have. It is a progressive life from lower to higher stages with no boundaries because they all merge into one another. As the soul gradually unfolds, it expresses itself on a higher plane of spirit. Well, maybe I can finish this one time, or at least maybe for some of you who have been listening to this show, you can use today's topic, life in the beyond, as an inspiration to help improve your current life on Earth. You know, the truth is that in Silver Birch's terms, where we live is very gross, and what we think is real and what we take personal, what we take to heart, is really not at all the truth. What I've been trying to tell you recently in some of my recent shows is what is really truth is what we have beyond life, beyond the physical world. So that's why dreaming and sleeping and meditating and having visions and feeling energies that don't feel natural is so very important, because what you're doing is you're literally plugging in to your higher power, to your spirit self, to your God self, to the great spirit inside of you, and to what truly exists on the other side. I think the problem with life is that we mourn too much death. We mourn death of relationships. We mourn death of jobs. We mourn death of friends. We mourn death of lovers. We mourn death of pets. I think the point of today's topic is what Silverbirch is trying to tell us, is that we should rejoice when endings and when death and closure occurs because of the grace that is served, because of the blissful heavenly paradise that is embraced whenever anything leaves this realm. The problem, the reason why so many people are out there in hospitals in comas or dying in hospital beds and not wanting to let go, is because they're frightened of what's on the other side and they're not really prepared spiritually. Now, those of you that are into crystals and that have a purple plate and that understand things like karma and reincarnation and astrology and the spirit world, you've been blessed because not only can you share that knowledge with others to help raise your own vibration, but to also help prepare them for what will happen when they die and pass on. It is unfortunate there are too many people out there in this world that are closed-minded to the truth, limited by the segregation of so many religions that are out there that expect us to wait for someone else to show us the way, when what I feel Silverbirch is teaching us is that we must show ourselves the way, we must prepare ourselves the way, and we must become our own students and teachers. That's why if you ever get to a point where you raise your consciousness, and when you do have more vivid dreams, and your dreams are more fun and more pertinent and have much more answers, well, then you can pat yourself on the back spiritually without being too selfish about it, right? Because that means that you've raised your consciousness out of that lower plane. You know, unfortunately, many of our brothers and sisters on this planet are living a nightmare. They have too many dreams that are nightmarish, and that makes a major statement of their spiritual state of consciousness. Because like Silverbirch said in the book just then, you know, there are lower planes, lower realms, lower than the earth even, lower than the earth vibration that the spirit dwells, if that's where the spirit feels it belongs. But if you feel you belong in a higher plane of consciousness and you qualify for it, then so be it. It's that simple. All it takes is love and selflessness and service and being able to embrace this God energy inside of you, which is so pure and kind and tender and loving and bonding to everything. Life from the beyond. Gosh, I haven't even given the phone numbers out today. I guess y'all like Silverbirch because we got Branka and Catherine and Lori and Linda and Maria and Nick all on the phones. We have a full board right now. And this is Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 90s. See, life isn't so tough when we get such a major bolt of energy and power and wisdom from the other side like that, from Silverbirch and hopefully this radio program.